Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Joining me today, Chris Williams.
Yes.
And the amazing Dr. Alice Benton is right there in the studio, and we are thankful that you're with us today. God bless you.
Fellas,
how you guys doing?
Well, I'm extra thankful. Can I celebrate with you? Because my husband agreed to join a couples group with me at church, and this is our first time. We just went last night on our 8th anniversary.
Nice. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah. He must really love me.
Yes.
Those couples groups can be quite grueling and wonderful at the same time. So that's pretty cool. You know, I think good quality relationship, I mean, it's hard to find, and when you find it, go join. We're for being a joiner. I just want to mention this Saturday, Life Recovery Conference is going to be there. Chris and I, we're both presenting some great stuff there. And I hope and pray that if you're in the Southern California area, you'll come and join us on Saturday, 9 a.m. at Mariners Church. Same place we're going to be doing our recovery conference. I'm going right to the phones today. Because, well, we can go right to the phones.
Let's jump
in. How about we talk with, James. He's a Club New Life member, Columbia, South Carolina, and listens on Sirius XM, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi there. How you doing? Channel 131. How's it going?
Better than I deserve. Thanks a lot for everything y'all do.
Thanks for helping us.
My question is, oh, not a problem. My pleasure. My question is I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old boys, and my 12-year-old encouraged my 9-year-old to touch him inappropriately, and I don't know how to handle that.
Okay, so what did you do when it happened, and what have you done since?
I haven't done anything. It happened today, and I called you.
Okay. Well, let's start with you, Alice. If he just walked into your practice and said, what do we do? What would you suggest?
James, I would suggest starting with a lot of love and gentleness and questions, and then be willing to take it as far as it may need to go. Because I think there's a spectrum here, depending on the severity and the details of what happened, how far it went. It could be not that big of a deal. It could be something very serious. It could be something that the boys saw. Perhaps your 12-year-old, it's not uncommon for a boy his age to have already seen pornography, whether on a friend's phone or something at home. But starting off letting the boys know that you love them and you're going to take this seriously because your job is to protect them. And so you have questions to ask to find out more before jumping to conclusions. But I would also suggest that you have ready in your back pocket, and we can equip you with this, with the number of a good clinician there in your area who can help you evaluate it well to either find out, is this not something to worry about, or is this something to take incredibly seriously? And the 12-year-old and the 9-year-old both may need help depending on how far it's gone.
Yeah, James,
what do you think, Chris?
Do you have...
We're going to come up against a break here really quickly. But James, how did your 9-year-old approach you? What did he say?
Actually, he was approached his mom. They were watching a show on TV, 911, and a skit happened, and he said, like did me, and then so my wife dug into it more and confronted with it. Me this morning, I'm a road truck driver.
Yeah,
and that's how it came out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think after the break, we'll come back and talk more about this. And as Alice was saying, this is not as uncommon as we'd like it to be. But I want to give you a few hints and directions as far as this go, because this is a bigger issue that can lead to actually a lot of positive things in the end. But we got to address the issue first.
We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And one major and just unfortunate thing that happened. The kids and touching each other, and we're talking with James. And so, Chris, you were talking with James. There was an unanswered question there, I believe.
Yeah. And James, have you had the sex talk with your 12-year-old?
I have. Matter of fact, it was a little over 2 months ago. We've talked to them throughout life,
uh-huh.
from birth to now, about sex. We're very open, and we were biblically based.
Yeah.
I've actually read the Every Man's Battle book. Not that I've had little incidences of sexual impurity through my father and his porn addiction and stuff, but
yeah.
I myself haven't gone down that road, thank God. But I still read the book just
yeah.
so I could, you know, I had two boys and you never know what you're going to deal with. But
yeah.
I don't know how to, I don't know the questions to ask him.
Yeah.
Where I don't know. I've already told him that he's awaiting our talk later this afternoon, and my 9-year-old just opened his heart to me this morning. He's begging at me not to, quote, punish him.
Yeah.
And so I'm learning a lot, so they're more concerned about the punishment than their behavior.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
definitely
okay.
need to regroup on our parenting. I don't want...
yeah, well, let me jump in. So the first thing I want you to try to eliminate in yourself is fear. These things can be
okay.
terrifying. But that's going to put you in a place of reactivity instead of proactivity. I want you to be proactive here, because I do want – your sons are also fearful of the punishment, which is reasonable. But I want you to be able to approach this from an opportunity to talk more about sexuality and sexual boundaries, especially in the home, but obviously in all of life. And so this is an opportunity to push for the family to get together, to push through the shame or the fear, and maybe even the pain of the incident that happened, or incidents, we don't know. But the first thing is you want to try the best that you can to get to truth. So I want you to be able to frame that from the place of, hey, guys, we just want to know what happened, because we want to make sure that the home is safe and appropriate and loving. And so we're going to help you through this incident or thing that's happened. And we'll look at like different consequences later. But right now, we just need to look at what has happened, what has gone on, and how do we talk through it, and how do we resolve it together as a family? And so
thank you. That helps a lot.
Yeah, I want you to move into it with there is a very appropriate level of concern, but also with a positive hopefulness that, hey, this has happened, but there is a way we can use this to redeem and reconcile the situation, to have an ongoing conversation about our sexuality and an ongoing conversation on what is safe and what is healthy and on obviously what is godly.
James, I think it's important, too, for you to know that for your 12-year-old to essentially go against everything that you've talked with him about, everything that you guys kind of stand for, your values, the drive within him is very strong. Mm-hmm. And so I would be extremely careful about ever leaving the two of them alone. I think it's something, if it was my child, I wouldn't let it happen. Yeah. You say, well, you know, it has to. Well, I wouldn't.
All right.
And the other thing is, when you take him aside, you have to tell him that he must not in any way retaliate against his younger brother because this was troubling to his younger brother. And your youngest son, the 9-year-old, needs to feel total safety and support.
Yes.
So what you're trying to do is, first of all, bring your 12-year-old into understanding of the position he has put his little brother into, and that it was something that has caused troubling feelings for the 9-year-old. And I got to tell you, I think you have to find somebody to help you in some counseling situations with the 12-year-old, because
I agree.
You really do not want him ever touching anybody ever again, and you want the desire for him to do that to be totally resolved. And it's not going to be a simple little chat. It's going to take some ongoing help.
Steve.
And you want to add something to that, Alice?
Yes. James, I would have you bookend this whole thing with prayer. Pray with your wife beforehand, but then pray with the boys to let them know God is in on this with us, and it's my job as the father of this family to make sure everyone stays safe. And in that safety, I think you'll need to ask your 12-year-old, where did you see pornography, and who has touched you? Now, hopefully his answer to those questions is, I haven't, and nobody has. But those questions need to be asked, as well as, is this the only time that there's been touching between the 12 and the 9? And how far has it gone? How extreme has it been? I believe it's better to gently but firmly act too strongly rather than not strongly enough in this situation.
Yeah. Very, very good. I'm glad that you called and you trusted us with this, and we just hope you have the courage and wisdom to move out. And anytime, you know, you can call our 800 number and we'll try to give you the best possible help or find a counselor for your 12-year-old, for you. But it's a good thing that you know it. That's the main thing, that there's a connection enough with the 9-year-old that you know about this, rather than it continue and everybody kept it a secret, which could have happened. And boy, would that have been a disaster. All right, let's go to Becky, Charlotte, North Carolina, listening online. Hello, Becky, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing pretty well. How could we help today?
Just a question about my daughter.
Okay.
She recently went through a breakup, having a really hard time, and so I noticed she was journaling, and so when she was at school, I went and I found her notebook, mm-hmm. and it said that the guy she likes was, you know, he had never told anyone, but he was having homosexual thoughts. And so recently he has, you know, they've tried to get back together. He said he made a mistake, and I didn't tell her that I found the notebook. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we do not want her to get back with him, because I know it may just be a phase or something for him, but we just feel like that it's not best that she get back with him. And so we pretty much told her it's not allowed, and she's not allowed to talk with him on the phone. And I just kind of want to get your opinion. She's having a really hard time with that. She's very mm-hmm. bitter at us.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I would say...
I'm not sure what to do.
I would say, hey, I see your reaction. And I see how upset you are about us really feeling like and believing that this is not a healthy situation. And I would try something like, you know, since he broke up with you, I think maybe Dad could have a few breakfasts, lunch, dinners with him and see how that goes. Now you have an opportunity to put something into him. You have a chance to help him grow in character. And, you know, maybe that would even be a relationship where he could reveal to your husband some of the struggles that he has. But to me, that's a better approach for both than just the approach of total abandonment and no. Because, you see, the notebook didn't say that he did anything with anybody else. He has these thoughts. And so anytime a boy has those thoughts or feelings, one of the I think one of the most damaging things can be either that he feels rejection from a mother or a father of the, you know, whether it's his own especially or the girlfriend he wants to get back with. So you don't want to be the controlling, domineering mother that, you know, and then he doesn't want, it's kind of like, oh boy, I don't want to mess with women, look at that. Or also, you don't want to be a guy that's got a father wound. You don't want to be another man that rejects that, if that's there. So again, engagement, invitation, those kinds of things might be a more difficult but a better path. But I'll ask Chris and Alice what they think might work.
I have a possibly controversial thought, and fellas, I want you to feel free to disagree with me if you do. Because, Becky, I think it's important for your daughter to know that she will have as much privacy as you can allow her, but that you and her father also are the protectors of her. And so that means that her social media, her phone, even possibly letting her know her diary, they're not fully private from you because you have to protect her and keep her safe. Now, I think I might have that conversation first, separate from any mention of her boyfriend, to set the stage that you have to access things to be able to keep her safe. And I would also, in that, invite her to fully and freely express how she feels about that and to assume and give her permission. That probably would really anger you. And I know you're already upset about our limits we've set with your ex-boyfriend. It makes sense that you're angry. Would you tell me how you're feeling about me? And then you, Becky, would listen without justifying or defending why you made those decisions at this point. This is just an opportunity to be a good listener to her and let her fully express her negative emotions towards you.
Okay. What do you think of that? Yeah. Anything we say resonate with you?
Absolutely, and I will definitely try that.
And would your husband be on board with this or not? What do you think?
Yes, I think so. He has, you know, talked to him some, just, and all he said is just, you know, like, we don't have a problem necessarily with you. He's not really went into what we read, and because I think it he feels awkward. Because, you know, we didn't know if it's something we should let, you know, his parents know that we had, you know, read that or that he was battling this. So, but
Becky, have you asked
talking with her?
Have you asked your daughter if there was anything concerning or anything that concerns her about her ex-boyfriend at a time where things are a little bit more peaceful between the two of you? Have you had the chance to ask her that?
Not really. No. No,
I might lay I might lay it out like this, that you would let your daughter know. You know, I know kids think about this. They talk about it. There's a lot of experimentation in our society today. So, kiddo, I want you to know it wouldn't surprise me if your friends talk about homosexual feelings, bisexual feelings. That is not uncommon. And if you're worried about it, if you've had any thoughts, you can bring those to me and we can talk about them. Have you ever wondered or worried about that with any of your friends? To allow her first to bring it up. And then if you've already set the stage of nothing is fully private for mom and dad, I think at a later point you can bring up, if she won't bring it to you directly, I need you to know that I did read this and I want to hear about it from you.
I actually have a different take on that. I am very concerned here because there is a double secret that is creating reactive control here.
Hmm.
That's that can turn into a crisis and a broken relationship very quickly. The first secret is what she has held in confidence in her journal. The second secret is that you read the journal and that you're doing behavior, controlling behavior, based on what something that is secret and not addressed.
Mm.
That's a major problem. And because there is a line in the recovery movement that we say we're only as sick as our secrets. All of this, I believe, needs to be brought out into the open. What she wrote, what you read, and then how do we talk about and create an environment where we can speak these things out in the open and come to safe and conclusions with it.
And love each other and be mad at each other at the same time.
So it might be good that it all starts with a confession.
Mm.
I did something, and here's how it happened, but I think it might be for the best. And my commitment to you is not to get into your journal, you know, social media, things like that. Those aren't off limits. But maybe it is what Chris is saying. It's an honest confession that begins a really good thing here. We'll be back. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Chris Thomas and Dr. Alice Benton and...
Chris Williams.
I'm sorry. Chris Williams.
Chris Thomas is coming by later.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I was...
I've been called Doubting Thomas before. That's not new.
Let's try that again. Because I was putting my earphones in there. We're back, and it's Chris Williams right here.
Yes, thank you.
And it's very similar to the guy that starred in the Thomas Crown Affair, but it's not Chris Thomas. It's Chris Williams. Really glad you're with us here today. We're going to go right back to these calls. How about we just go over here and we talk with Jackie from D.C., Washington, D.C., that is. How you doing, Jackie?
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, I know I'm limited on time, so I'm just going to jump right in.
Okay.
I've got a question. Been married now for about 14 years to a wonderful man. Having a little bit of an issue with his mom. His mom is a very outspoken, harsh, critic, always says what's on her mind. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of had a rough relationship in the sense of, like, I kind of avoid her. Because she always has something to say, and I was taught from a young age to just keep your mouth shut. Now, it got to the point where I think I took in too much and just bottled it in. And there was a situation that happened with the whole family where literally it was a holiday and everybody's screaming at each other, cursing each other out in front of my children.
Wow. Oh.
My kids are not used to seeing that.
Sure, yeah.
Both my husband and
What was the big issue that led to that? What was the big issue?
Well, this is the underlying issue. So my husband's 1 out of 5. He's the oldest by far. And his youngest brother, his youngest 3 siblings have kind of been, he calls them leeches. They've never really done much with their life. And the youngest one has been in and out of trouble since forever. He's in his mid-20s now, and his mom has always enabled him. And so my husband kind of blames his mom for all this. So during the holiday, we found out that he had 2 DUIs, 2 hit and runs, and he's just, my husband has had it. There was a lot of tension.
Okay.
And it was something so small that turned into massive. So,
okay. So what's the question for us?
So here's the question. So my mother-in-law sent a lot of nasty text messages to my husband. I kind of got upset, and I kind of stood up for him for the first time ever. Of course, she came back towards me with a fierceness and called me names and all this stuff, and I just stood my ground. I was never disrespectful. She doesn't want to get help. I offered, why don't we pay for counseling? She just wanted to get counseling so that we were told that we were wrong. So I said, I'm not going to invest in something if she doesn't want to put in any work. I am willing to do whatever it takes. This was like 8 months ago. We haven't spoken to them. We've pretty much kind of cut them out. And she's very hurt, of course, that we've cut them out. But it's a very toxic relationship. So here's my question. My husband wants to bring, we want reconciliation. We just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because I feel like I'm in a place where I either always speak up for myself and then it's a constant conflict, or I just keep my mouth shut and it's going to happen again. There's never resolution in this family.
All right. So you want to know how to make things better?
Yes. Okay. When somebody doesn't see that they did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Anything. They. Yeah.
Here's first of all, man, don't you wish there was fairy dust that you could just sprinkle on everybody and they would change? And secondly, the research has been done on this. There are some things that can make things better. But the prognosis of everybody changing and joining hands and seeing feelings together, not so good. And so I want to, before I turn it over to, I'll start with Alice, I want to say this. The time with those folks needs to be limited. Right?
Yes.
Yes. And secondly, the reactions, verbal reactions to those folks must be restrained. You are not going to fix or cure or influence anybody in a knockdown, drag out family argument, everybody involved. So you must not escalate an issue. You just have to let somebody else heal, cure, fix, or whatever. So the next time you're with them, I would let that time be less, and I sure wouldn't get in any argument. Bible's pretty clear about arguing with foolish people. Alice, what are you thinking about this?
Well, Jackie, I think I have very good news and tough news for you. And I respect what you're trying to do. And you have so much power in the position you're in because I think you have a willingness to be humble, to look at yourself first and to lead by example. And I think you'll start doing that by confessing to your mother-in-law that you've been holding some secrets, that you have not been speaking up as you know you should, and that you've caused problems by staying too quiet. So if you can apologize for your part in this, you will start the grace multiplying through this situation. You have a lot of power here.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that...
I have apologized. I have, but she just doesn't... She doesn't...
Right. All right. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We've been talking with Jackie, and it is not unusual to have a few in-law relationship problems, and Alice and Chris both have a quick comment about that situation.
Jackie, just to summarize, even though you have already apologized, I wouldn't expect quick change. So I ask you to confess that you feel hurt by the critique, but you know you have failed to speak all these years and that that failure has caused problems, and you desire to reconcile. It's important for you to have her in your life. And then you practice that regular ongoing truth-telling with people that are safe enough for you to do it in the way the Bible combines truth with love. Now, you can, if you continue doing that, there's a better likelihood of influencing the people around you. But at the very least, this is what you can control, and you see you need character growth in this area.
All right. Chris, thought?
Yeah. And just one last thing is that your mother-in-law has shown you her behavior over a long period of time. So for you to expect her to be different is actually on you, not her. So make sure that your expectations of her match the reality in which you've already experienced her.
Yeah, very good.
That's wise.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'll send you a Dave Stoop Double Dog special, the Forgiving What We Can't Forget, and then the other book, his newest book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. And it's a book on meditating on God's Word. It will change your attitude toward people like this. But I'll send those. It's also our thank you gift this whole month. If you give a gift of any amount, I'm going to send that to you. It's a great book. Dave has written some really good books that sell a lot of books because they're so good, and I'm always thrilled to get to be his partner. But, yeah, we'll get that to you if you give a gift of any amount. And really glad that you were able to call us here, and hope something we said here, Jackie, helps you. Sometimes the only thing that does help is acceptance, you know, just accepting the reality of who this person is. Jessica, how you doing? Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. You listen on Wava from Alexandria. What's going on in your life today?
Actually, I have been moved out of my home since the beginning of this week. And I guess my question is, to get right to that, is I am being forced pretty much to tell our daughter that, you know, her dad and I are separated for right now. And the fact that I just feel powerless.
Why are you separated? What happened? Why are you separated? Oh, what happened?
Well, it's a long-standing issue. I recently found out again that my husband had two emotional affairs. And when I recently found out, I just left. I'm just really upset right now because our daughter, who is in college, wants to come home this weekend.
Yeah. Why don't you tell him to get some help? Why don't you tell him to get some help?
Well, we actually went to counseling and.
No, I'm talking about him.
A waste of money.
I'm talking about him getting help. Why don't you tell him? Get some help. Well, get some help for this. You have a problem.
He denies that he needs it, and I recently told him about the Everyman's Battle, and his intent was to go to the January one in our area. But right now, I just don't feel like I should have to move out and pay money, and he stays in the house. He doesn't have to tell my daughter anything. He doesn't have to do anything. And it's not like he reached out to me since I've been out. And I'm really angry that I have to go ahead and now tell my daughter that this issue is happening.
Well, I think he gives you no choice but to be truthful with her about what has happened. You do have legal rights, you know. You probably should get an attorney so that he's providing you with the financial resources if you're the one that, as you say, you were forced out. But I got to tell you, I think the goal is to get him to a place of getting better. And a lot of guys have done a lot of worse stuff. If you can just get him to the workshop, then the other guys, it's their job to see the denial or whatever, and to bring him to a place of wanting to transform his life. But you have to get him there first. So sometimes you have to hold a carrot and say, if you ever have any hope of us getting back together, then you must go to this workshop. If you want me to delay telling our daughter what's going on, it's the workshop. If you ever want me to move back in, it's that workshop. You can to continue to minimize and deny, but that doesn't help you. We both know there's a problem, so get it fixed and let's see what we can do with this marriage. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, Jessica, I got a question for you. How often do you feel like you're forced or have to do something?
Well, actually, it's often because I don't really. I feel like because I am a stay-at-home mom, he feels like he can just do what he wants.
Okay,
to do.
So let me jump in. I know it sounds like I'm kind of being rude here. I asked the question because of this. That's a bad story you're telling yourself, and I don't think it's accurate. What you are doing is you're giving other people permission to determine your life. And so so the scapegoat is, well, I'm forced to, as if you don't have a choice. Well, I have to because you said it, I'm powerless. That's a real bad place to be. I have a model I'm working with, but in the model, when we start with powerlessness, we automatically drop into fears of reactivity, and then we're either passive or aggressive and defensive. But ultimately, we end up being a victim. Now, here's a really, really hard thing to see. Victims never stay victims. Victims become perpetrators. But where they perpetrate often is against themselves. And so... Mm-hmm. Now, and again, that can bleed out towards other people as well. So there's this term that I've heard that's really important, and it's called take your life back. You really need to look at, stop focusing so much on your husband other than what Steve has told you. You tell him he's got to go get help. But then you got to focus on how do I take my life back so it's not ruled by being forced to and have to do all these other things that everyone else is telling me to do.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad
I
you.
Just,
yeah. Go ahead.
It's just, I know it's very hard, and I agree with everything that you're saying. It's just so hard.
Yeah, because, very hard.
You know, it's either I deal with him or just, you know, he was just really adamant about staying there. And I just was like, fine, because I have to get out of here and get away from you. But there were no boundaries. I mean, we started with the EMB. He decided to go to the one in January, and I'm going to the Restore in November.
Choice.
But that's all a month away. So I guess my question is, if I have to tell my daughter this weekend, how do I say it in a way? Because I'm going up to get her, and then I'm dropping her back off at school. And I just don't know what to say.
I think you should tell her that your father has some problems, and they're such that you can't live with him, and it's an integrity problem, and you've asked him to get it taken care of. Now, I would also suggest to you that, you know, we're in D.C. in October. Why he needs to wait to January, I don't know, but I would be saying to him, if you could go to the October 5th, Every Man's Battle, maybe I could delay talking to our daughter about the details of all this, and let's see what happens. There's no reason for him to wait. He needs to go get help. Maybe that would motivate him to get help sooner than later.
Jessica, two additional quick thoughts and steps here. You can also let him know, our daughter is going to find out. It would be better if we meet with her together and you have the opportunity to say what you need to say. If you don't,
I like that.
I'm going to. And
right.
Also, Jessica, this is such an opportunity for you to strongly show your daughter how to not tolerate infidelity and abusive treatment. And it's so sad you have to do this. But what an example you can be for her. So get the support around you, because it is unfair, and you need to rage and you need to grieve with women that can understand what you're going through.
All right.
Okay.
1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust to give to him.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, Steve Hardman. We're really glad that you're with us here today on New Life. And, you know, if you're struggling, we've got some help for you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll go to one more caller here. And how about we talk with, let's go to Maria, Los Angeles, California. How you doing? Maria, are you
Hi.
There?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call.
Okay. Yeah, my question is, I struggle with my husband. He's gone through depression after he left his job 15 years ago. And through the years, he became worse. He became manic. He became bipolar and a sociopath. And as it got so bad this year, he would kick me out of the house if I didn't do what he, you know, told me to do. Oh, and the sad part is that I've never stopped working. We have three children. And finally, I decided, he kicked me out, and I did not go back. And the kids are with him. And
You let your kids with you. Now, wait a second. You've left your kids with this man who's a sociopath, who's bipolar.
I'll tell you why. Yes, because the kids are more used. He was a stay-home dad. So in my shift is swing shift, 2 to 10, weekends, holidays. And the kids, he also manipulated them to that was a sinner and that I just didn't love him. And
all right, let me ask you to ask us a question, because we literally are almost out of time.
Oh.
What is the question for us? It's a horrible situation.
Okay, yes. I haven't seen the kids in 5 months.
Oh my goodness.
We're in court. In court.
You have an attorney, is what you're saying?
No, I'll tell you why. He emptied my accounts. He even committed fraud on my retirement. Mm. I'm broke. Mm. He has an attorney. Okay?
You have to go and get legal aid, legal assistance.
I've tried everywhere. Uh-huh. Oh. They said my case is high conflict. Nobody wants to represent me. Nobody
really?
Wants to be assisting in public places. They said that.
Oh, my goodness.
That my case is, and 2 weeks ago, I get a letter that my daughter was hospitalized at a psych hospital for suicide.
Okay, so what is the question then for us? Because I'm going
to have
to give
you
a brief answer.
How can I help? How can I help someone does not admit that he has mental problems?
Yeah,
because
that I think he's
wants to confront him.
He's the least of your worries. You want to help your children in spite of him. I'm just wondering, Alice, Chris, you guys have any ideas for
her? Yes, Steve. Because, Maria, if you have any reason to believe that your children are in danger, then you need to call Child Protective Services because they will send out a social worker. And there's no cost to you for them to do this. This is a county program. They'll send a social worker to your home, and they'll interview all of your children, and they'll determine the level of safety for the kids in the home. And then they'll be able to provide...
That's where I am.
Okay. Have you done that already?
I did that, and the thing is... Sounds like he wants that happen. His purpose is, when he becomes manic, he writes texts and emails.
Okay,
and
so here's the thing.
That
let me,
I will never see the kids again.
Okay, well, then that is something you want to take to the psych hospital with you and show that to the head psychologist, the program director, the medical director. And you want to ask them to help you with this horrible situation and see if they can provide some kind of intervention here. You don't need proof there's a problem. Your daughter's in a psych hospital. And so sometimes people reach a place where you kind of feel like you're hopeless and helpless. But any kind of threatening written material... That's gold for you to try to intervene here. Quit asking, how do I help him? And ask, how do I help my children? He may be beyond help. Alice, what were you thinking there?
Well, Maria, I heard you say, I have called everywhere. And I need to challenge that, because for the safety of your children, you need to continue to persevere. And I'm going to challenge it lovingly by saying you have not called every attorney out there. You have not called every program. You have to keep calling every single day until you get the help that your kids need. And if it's multiple calls to Child Protective Services until you get them to take action, you continue to do that for the sake of your children, no matter what he's threatening against you. You've already lost them for 5 months.
It may be calling churches and asking, is there anyone in your church that might be able to help me? All right, we are out of time, and oh my goodness, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that will help you. It's a great book. It's got a wonderful devotional with it. It's got a workbook with it. Oh my goodness, pray for her and Maria and the children. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you are being pushed out and you're the healthier one, don't leave those kids to someone like him. Fight for it. In our, in this neck of the woods, we've had a couple of things happen, and we just had two kids murdered, and then the father committed suicide.
Oh, it's horrible.
I feel for these families where, you know, people say, well, gosh, do we need a New Life Ministries? Oh, my goodness. If that question ever comes up, I think people just don't realize how severe the problems are out there. And we are there. And if you hear of somebody that's struggling, they don't know what to do, tell them, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
And Steve, just to jump in on something, is that we hear the stories of where it went wrong.
Yeah.
Because those are what the news covers.
Right.
But how many times is ministries like this where the story has gone right? Countless times, way more than it's gone wrong, it's gone right because people have sought out the right help.
That's right.
Don't give up. Do not give up, because we do have a powerful God. If you've ever heard this phrase, learned helplessness, you know there. Sometimes you reach a point, people reach a point, they just feel like there's nothing they can do. There's always something, as Alice was saying, something else you can do. A gift of any amount helps support this ministry. We send you Dave's book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. And it really is a fantastic book. $30 a month is all it takes to be a Club New Life member with access to our video library. We thank you with this thumb drive of 71 teachings, and they're spectacular. We have workshops for you. The October 5th, coming right up this Friday, for Every Man's Battle. Go if you need that help. Life Recovery Conference, Southern California, on the 6th. On the 19th, our celebration in Southern California of 30 years of ministry. What a coincidence. 30 years of ministry, $30 a month for Club New Life. Hang on the line if you're on there. We've got another program to do. We'll get to your call. God bless you. Thank you. Help us. Help yourself. Help somebody else at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.